It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time. Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com.
Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
Hey guys, it's Fawcast time. Welcome. Charterhouse Real Estate brings you the Fawcast every week. We've been doing the new format. And Mark, you polled our listeners earlier in the week. What did we learn?
The grayless format that we have now. Basically 77% of the people that were polled don't miss gray at all. That's what I took from it. It was basically I asked, do they like it better now? Do they like it worse? Or they're undecided. And the we like it better and the undecideds, I decided to lump those together to indict gray. And 23% or something like that said they like the old version. But hey, we're young. So maybe they just haven't caught on yet.
Yeah. No, that's good stuff. We've been pretty solid with our guests, Keith Murphy, Brent Bloom, Chris Connolly. And that continues on today. Where we're going to have a special guest here, and we're going to bring him on here in just a couple minutes, Kenny White. He is a former Vegas odds maker. He currently makes picks for Sportsline.com, and he's a sharp dude. I've had him on Fanatics before, and I know, Mark, that you're especially excited to talk to Kenny White today.
I got a few questions, and we actually asked on Fanatic the other day. I think we got a bunch of questions
we could
fire off at Kenny White. But this guy... Again, a lot of times we wonder, like I think of specific games, and I may even ask about this, Drake Iowa State basketball game. That was one that I think a lot of basketball fans remember when...
That was the Royce White game and they lost, right?
Iowa State was only favored by something like two.
Two and a half.
And it felt like they should have been favored by 10,
yeah.
15.
Yep,
and
they
lost.
Specifically.
So
yeah.
Vegas knew something in that instance. So I do want to ask him about how much are just stats taken into consideration and how often does Vegas... know something to set the line and see what he's willing to say on that.
All right. Well, without further ado, you want to get Kenny White on the phone?
I do.
Let's do it. We're going to interview former Vegas odds maker. He's a current professional picksman, I guess we'll call him, for
sure.
Sportsline, Kenny White. Here's the interview. Yeah, Mark, this is fun for a couple of guys like us because we're, you're a degenerate.
Happily admit that as well.
But this show, I mean, the Fawcast, we do a lot of different things on here. But I think during the season, it has a significant gambling angle to it. I mean, we spent a lot of times over the last 3 years making picks, debating picks, point spreads, all that stuff.
Well, forget baseball. The American pastime is gambling.
This is true. It goes all the way back to the ponies.
And fortunately, we have an expert here to talk about it.
We do. Kenny White from Sportsline. Mark and I are both subscribers to Sportsline. I love what you guys do. And I use it, Kenny, for my day job every day, even when it's not we're not even talking about gambling. But I learned so much about the games that we're talking about and trends and all that stuff. You guys do a great job at Sportsline. So before we dig in, I want to let you guys, push your product a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what you do there now.
Well, yeah, it's an outstanding product, I think, that CBS Sportsline has come up with, and several really strong handicappers that we handle all sports. And, just like 2-3 lines of information why that handicapper likes that selection. And most of the time, it's something that's very useful that you can use in the future, and that's what it's all about, information. That's, you guys started it. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody likes the game, and we all may be degenerates, and rightfully so. It's just fun. It's good entertainment, and there's a good chance that you can win some money at it. It's got the best value, gambling value of any gamble out there. There's nothing as close to, you know, investing sports betting. It's actually got the most value of anything, even over the stock market.
Well, and I like to just the fact that it's actual guys with their names and their faces, and they're giving reasons to picks. There's so many different picks outlets out there that it's just like some random guy just will send you an email with like four picks for the day, and you have no idea where he's getting that, why he's coming to that conclusion. You guys, it's actual. You can Google you guys, see what your backgrounds are, and there's validity, analytics, all that stuff. So it's a phenomenal product.
Yeah, I definitely think it is. They've done a really nice job. You're right, putting a roster of some really good people together. They're going to continue to expand, so should be fun and be really good for, you know, any sports bettor out there. It's great value, that's for sure. It's the best value on the internet for a pick site. You know, there's plenty of picks everywhere, but as you said, the names behind it, the work behind it, and you know, we give you a little bit of a write up why we like that selection.
Kenny, we have a ton of questions for you here, so I'm fascinated by this. I fell in love with, so I was a bookie for one day. In high school, I read an article. You might remember the Sports Illustrated did a big piece about a bookie out of the University of Florida and kind of followed him around. It had made me fall in love with the world of sports gambling. So I decided to make a flyer way back in high school and pass it around to people and let them know that I was willing to take their bets. And about four periods later, a teacher got a hold of that. and that was the end of my bookmaking career. I've been in love with it ever since. But
that was in what, first grade?
This was a long time ago. This was when would that article come out? Probably 93, 94. Probably that article came out in Sports Illustrated. So a long time. But here's my big question for you. And this really isn't my big question, but we joke about it every year. I go with to Vegas with some buddies. We bet on sports. We do that. We got there last year. Louisville and Duke were playing football. Our plane lands. We go to our hotel. We go right in, and I make a bet. And for purposes of my question, I'll tell you, it was a $2,000 wager.
Jeez.
And as soon as I did that bet and they had cashed my ticket, the line moved by a half point or the over-under dead or whatever it was. So the joke was among my friends, oh, man, you just moved the line. You just bet enough to actually move a line in Vegas. And I, of course, didn't know if I did that. But one of my questions is, what does it take to actually move a line?
It all depends on what casino you're at and what you're betting.
I was at the Palazzo, if that helps any.
Yeah, betting limits are different at every casino. And then when I say that, you know, this day and age of consolidation and satellite sports books, there's really only about 10 bookmakers in town that control 195 sports books.
Wow.
So there's 195 sports books in the state, but only 10 entities control all those books.
Okay.
So there's 10 different betting lines out there. So there's 10 different type of limits as well. But And those companies are different within their company. Like, we'll take Station Casinos. They have Green Valley Ranch, Red Rock, Palace Station, Boulder Station, Sunset Station, some smaller casinos. They're able to take the same limit at every one of those because they're going into one pool. If you were at a small standalone hotel, let's say I'm going to use Jerry's Nugget. It's in North Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
If you bet $500 on a side, you're going to move their line probably a point. If you bet $100 on a total, you're going to move their total a point.
Wow.
Now, if you go to the MGM or the Palazzo or, you know, one of the bigger places, depending on what sport it is as well, NFL, you might bet $10,000 at the MGM or Palazzo, and they're not even blinking an eye. No problem. We'll take it. Their threshold may be $50,000 to move the line. And it's added up, you know. It's if you bet $10,000, another person bets $10,000, and they start looking. Oh, you got $20 on this. Just keep an eye on it. And someone else lays the $7 for $10,000. Now they got $30. Now it's time to move that number, and they'll move it to $7.5. You know, there's no book on how to be a bookmaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's all by experience. It's all by feel. It's all by knowing your customers, and that's how you become a good bookmaker: is knowing what your clientele is going to bet, how they react, And being on top of it too. You can't be asleep at the wheel. You got to know how much money you have on each game. But so your question is when to move the line. If you want to move the line on every game, you can go to Jerry's Nugget, North Las Vegas, and you get every bet you make, you'll be moving the line. But $2,000 would move the line at most sports books in town. They would take it serious enough to move their number at least a half.
So you're saying I actually did move the line. I can take credit for it.
Yeah, I think you did.
Awesome.
I'm sure you did. Yeah,
and I
I'm
lost, sure by did. The way. I took the over in that game, and there was rain and ball control. So it ended horribly for me.
You know what? I was going to say it was probably the total, because that's what they're scared of. When you look, and I tell people that all the time.
Yep.
If you're going to start betting sports, make yourself an expert on totals. Because the bookmaker is going to give you a really good insight on this right away. When you walk to the window or you call your bookmaker up, you're playing online, and you say, what is your limit on the side in a particular sport? It's 2,000. What's your limit on the totals? 500. Well, why is the limit so much lower on the totals? Because for the last 40 years since they invented totals, the sports books have never beaten totals.
Wow.
They break even. They maybe they hold a half of 1%, maybe 1% on a good year. But because there's so many variables, you know, with totals, you got weather, you got travel, you got coaching situations, you have injuries, and all that can affect a total more than the side at times.
Is that just because because the public just doesn't bet totals as much?
I mean, bet them more, but it's because the wise guys are so good at them.
Oh, okay.
That's why, because they're so good at them, and they're just weaker. Well, you know, you put the line up, we'll just use a football game, and we'll say the Cowboys are -7 and the total's 42, and they're playing the Redskins, and you think it's going to be beautiful weather, and then all of a sudden here comes the weather report, and it's in Washington. We'll say that Dallas is favored on the road, which is ridiculous if they would be, but it's in Washington, grass field, and it's going to be pouring rain and windy. Well, the bettors really get that information before the bookmakers do. So somebody comes in and they bet 5,000 on the under, and that would be the limit at a big place. Like I said, a place that takes 50,000 on the side would probably take 5,000 on the total. So now they move to 41.5. Another 5,000 is bet. It goes to 41. Then it goes to 40.5. Then all of a sudden, the bookmaker's like, something's wrong. Oh, my God, it's going to be raining and windy. Take the total off the board. Not the side. The side's going to stay 7 and not even move. And then we wait a couple hours and figure it out. All right, we put the total back up 38. So the real number on this game should be 38 because of the weather, but all the sharp guys are under 42, 41.5, and 41. So they have extra value, and that's why bookmakers can't beat totals.
So obviously when you talk about wise guys, sharp bettors, we think of those as professional gamblers. How does Vegas determine who's a sharp bettor? Is there some type of – is it simply that they study? Is it that it's a full-time job for them? What is the actual designation of what makes somebody a sharp bettor?
Oh, two different designations. One is money. That makes you look like you're sharp at the beginning, but you know what? It doesn't take long before you realize if that guy's sharp or not, because you know what value is and where there's no value. And when you get a guy that's just coming up and he's betting 10,000 a game and he's betting every favorite and every game over, we know he's not a sharp guy. He's made his money in some other field.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a lot of money in it, whether it was real estate or banking or whatever. But he didn't make it at sports betting, because you're not going to make money betting favorites and over. So that's one indicator. Another indicator is, you know, being behind the counter, I've seen a lot of really sharp bettors that bet 200 a game, 300 a game. But you know they're doing the work every day. They come in at the same time. They look the numbers over. When they make a bet on the Redskins +7, you can bet there's not a +7.5 anywhere to be found. They're never going to take a bad number, and you know they're just very consistent. And you'll see those guys; their money will go up. They'll be from 100 to 300 a game, to 200 to 400 a game, up to 500. And then you'll see them probably go down, because it's a roller coaster. Sports betting's a roller coaster. So that's a couple of things that, you know, your clientele, you know who's good, you know who's sharp, just by how many bets they make with you and what type of bets they make with you.
Kenny, there's a cliche that Vegas must know something. If you've bet a lot or around the world, you just typically see that. You see a line that might be a little bit screwy. There was a famous game here that I'm sure you have no recollection of, nor should you, when Marcus Fizer played for Iowa State Cyclones. That's who we're affiliated with. And they were playing Drake, at Drake. And Iowa State, I believe, was only favored by 2 when everybody thought that they should be favored by double digits at least because of how good Iowa State was. Drake ended up winning that game, and everybody that I know had bet on Iowa State and lost. Would that be an example of what in the world would Vegas have known on a game like that, or any game where the line seems funny? Does Vegas, quote-unquote, know something?
No, Vegas knows nothing. What we do is we make numbers, we watch how the action comes in, and then we adjust power ratings to make a better number the next time those two teams play in their next game, not against each other, but maybe a different opponent. So it's just trying to figure out why the money came in on a game and then how much to adjust a team after the results of the game are over with. In a game like that, it could have been, and sometimes, like right now, the baseball line is overinflated in certain situations because I see there's one big group, only one, that's betting baseball right now.
Cubs?
And they're doing well. So when they bet, the whole world is kind of following them. And you see these lines get out of whack right now, 40, 50 cents from where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
But this group's winning. So, I mean, they're laying $1.70, or the followers are, on the road in baseball, which is completely ridiculous. And, they're winning. So sometimes that could be, if it's the hot handicapper that liked Drake and Vegas opened it up, maybe 6 Iowa State, and it got bet down to 2 by the time you guys saw the line.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's fascinating stuff. So here's a real-time question. On Wednesday night, the Cavaliers have whatever it was, like a 5-6-point lead. It's late in that basketball game. They blow the lead. And within seconds of that game being concluded, Kenny, the line comes out for game 4 that has Golden State as a 6.5-point favorite. That was the opening line. So was that predetermined? Like, if LeBron and the Cavs hang on and hold by 1, like, that line would have been set as well? It's just predetermined regardless of however the outcome is, bam, that line's already created. Is that how that works?
Yeah, we don't like to be too knee-jerk in anything we do as bookmakers or odds makers or in this field. So these numbers are the easiest numbers right now to make because you're making smaller adjustments. But the trend right now, the hot trend is, when the game 3, the home team lost their first 2 games of the series on the road. Game 3, they're 15 and they were 15-3 in the first quarter and 15-3 in the first half. So you also kind of have the zigzag theory that, Golden State won the first 2. Well, now it's time for Cleveland to win a game. So I think everybody was looking at the line, really. The real number, true number, would be Golden State, like 4.5. So they shaded it down to 3, knowing that there was going to be money on Cleveland just because of the must-win factor.
Mm-hmm.
And they even went as far as shading the first quarter to pick them, which should have been really Golden State minus 1 or 1.5, but they really overshaded it because they knew they were going to get a lot of money. They ended up getting good two-way action on that, and it actually closed Cleveland minus 0.5 in the first quarter.
Wow.
And Cleveland minus a pick, I think, for the first half. But yet the game line closed 3.5. Golden State minus 3.5, and there was 4s out there. I think there might have been 4.5s. So now the game's played. The idea is everyone's thinking Cleveland's going to give them a great game. Cleveland's going to take it down to the wire. If Cleveland wins, it gives Golden State a little bit more motivation. We're going to probably open that game up, Golden State 4.5, maybe 5. If Cleveland loses a tough one, which they did, that just might kill their motivation for the next game. And Golden State just looks so good they can't be beaten. And you know what, right now, the bookmakers are getting destroyed. Every bookmaker around the country is getting destroyed because it's favorite and over parlay in almost every NBA game.
It's
crazy how many favorite and overs have cashed. So they're right now trying to over-adjust as much as they can. They know So every bookmaker knows what every bettor is going to bet in game four. The majority of their clientele is going to have Golden State minus whatever. It could be nine. They're still going to lay it, and they're going to go over.
It's no secret
in Vegas. That's why the adjustment was made.
You hear this all the time, and obviously it's true, that Vegas is kind of, or the sports books are always kind of rooting for things not to happen, so to speak,
right.
Because the public favors the favorite so much. They favor overs because they want scoring. They don't want boring games. And a lot of those bettors obviously aren't sharps. They're just people that enjoy betting and do it from time to time. But Vegas knows that going in, that's how people are going to typically bet. So the Lions have to obviously offer some protection against that, do they not?
They do, like a Monday night football game when I'll be working with my odd staff. We're putting numbers together for the following week, and we do all Sunday schedule. And then we get to the Monday night game, and we come up with a total 48, and we all look at each other, well, let's add a half a point to that. When we send it out 48.5, and then when it gets to the book says, well, let's add a half to that. They open it up 49. So it gets overinflated a point in big public situations where we know the general public will be heavily favored in the game.
And Monday night's huge because that's where gamblers are trying to get back to even, hopefully.
Oh, true. And it's a standalone game. So when you have a Sunday and you got eight games kicking off in the morning, the general public guy is not going to bet all eight games. He's going to pick out three or four of the best that he likes and kind of maybe round robin them or do some parlays, some teasers, and maybe a straight bet here or there. But it gets to Monday night, everybody's betting the same game. So the handle on that game now is 4 to 5 times higher than your normal game on a Sunday.
Kenny, being a sports radio guy in a college market, I love the over-unders for the win-loss totals on the season when they come out in the middle of the summer. It gives us something to chew on for a couple of weeks.
Right, right.
I absolutely love it. What's the process like of setting the win-loss over-unders for a season that starts in 4 or 5 months?
It's always a challenge. I go back and I use 3 years' worth of power ratings. And then I got to usually check to make sure if the quarterback is coming back, if the coach is coming back, and then I kind of make some quick adjustments for those important pieces of that team. And then I actually run the entire season to come up with a line on every single game, which gives me the money line, which gives me the percentage chance that team has to win that game, and then total those up, and I got the regular season, you know, a pretty good regular season win total to start out with. And you got to remember, the way we do it is if we're opening up 4 months in advance and we open up Iowa State 6.5 wins for football this year, somebody comes to the counter and wants to make a bet, we're probably going to take $1,000 on that under or over wherever they're going. And we're going to move it off that $1,000 bet. And then we're going to take another $1,000 bet next week, and then next week, and then next week. And then we're going to say, you know what? It's been 4 weeks. The limit's now 2,000. And then it's another month, and we're close to season. Now we'll take 3 to 5,000. So what happens is we kind of let the bettors tip their hand at a lower price. And once they tip their hand enough, then we can open it up and we can take more money and take as much as we want it, you know, when we're down to the last couple weeks before the season kicks off.
Kenny, from a gambling perspective, how do you view Iowa State football? I mean, we got a lot of Iowa State fans.
Don't disappoint everybody.
Yeah, historically, obviously, they stink. We all know that. But they got a young coach.
Dangerous home dog.
Okay.
Just the first thing that comes to my mind. Dangerous home dog. I've seen so many upsets. Iowa State is pulled at home as a home underdog on a Thursday night game. It's crazy. You see it all the time. I think that's just your athletic programs have been really, I think, solid over the years, consistent. I just never been able to get the point to be, you know, great. And it's tough. It's tough. It's hard getting kids, I think, to that area of the country.
It is, no question.
Yeah.
The talent you need. And then the homegrown, it depends on, you know, you guys specialize in a lot of different sports there because I think your weather, you know, lets kids play a lot of different sports. And wrestling is, you know, one of your major sports that you do very well at.
What about the home field and home court advantages? I know we had some questions on the website. We told people that you were coming on with us, and I think people are always curious. How do you decide what's a 2-point field? What's a 3-point field? That always fascinates me.
Hilton Coliseum, especially for basketball.
I give 6 points for Hilton Coliseum. It's a great one. They're very loud, especially when the team's doing well. When the team's playing well and that place is crowded, it's great. It's like the Thomas and Mac here. When Jerry Tarkanian was here and every game was sold out, the Thomas and Mac was worth 6.5 points a game. And now there's 2,000, 3,000 people going to these games. It's worth zero.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a detriment to the team. It's embarrassing to go play in your home court. And there's, you know, sometimes there's more fans from the other team is how bad it is. So what a home field is, I always tell people that, you know, everyone likes to throw out there, NFL home field's worth 2.5, NBA home court's worth 3.5. Every sport and every team in those sports is different. Every single one is different. Because you can't just give 3.5 to everybody. It's crazy. And my biggest point is, if the visitor is better than the home team, you really can't give a lot of home court. If Kentucky basketball came in to play Iowa State and they were 10 points better than the Cyclones, and you have one of the strongest home courts, and it's normally worth 6.5. I'd probably cut it in half and only make it worth maybe 3 that day against Kentucky and make the line 7.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to play somebody that they were fairly even with and it was kind of a pick-em matchup, I'd give the full 6.5 and make the game 6.5. It's just like we're looking at right now, Golden State closed, 9 in game 1. And I was listening to somebody on the radio, a real joker who thinks he's actually a sports guy here in town now. And he says, well, it was 9. I give 3 points home court for Golden State and 3 points home court for Cleveland, and I make the game -3. He was pretty close. He was actually right there where it was, but that's not what it was. It's Golden State's 4-point better team, and their home court's worth 5.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't lose at home. So their home court value is worth more than other teams. So that's why the line was 9, not because 3 and 3 to Golden State. And now that Golden State's 4 points better, we're giving Cleveland very little respect for their home court just because Golden State, they're professional athletes.
Yep.
These crowds do not affect professional athletes. Crowds affect college athletes. And more than anything, you know what? It's not even the athletes as much. It's the officials that crowds affect. That's home field advantage. The louder you get, the more you can influence the officials to make calls your way for your team. And professional officials they don't get intimidated as much as college officials do, and that's why the home court advantage is what it is. The basket's the same height, the court's the same size. These kids are playing in front of people yelling, you know, at Iowa State. What's it really matter? If they go to Lincoln, Nebraska and play in front of Nebraska's fans, it's the same thing. The only advantage is going to be the crowd is going to dictate the calls that the officials make. That's home field advantage in every sport.
That's interesting that Hilton is 6. That's a lot higher than I thought it would be. Let me ask you a question related to just your profession in general, Vegas, gambling, et cetera. We have a lot of people, obviously, that do it. Maybe many don't talk about it because, obviously, in many areas of the country, most areas of the country, it's still illegal. And I think that will change, and feel free to weigh in on that if you'd like to. But in your profession, what would you tell people when they are looking for legitimate information, they want to try to win, they're not just doing it recreation, when you've got so many handicappers, and I'll use that in quotes, on Twitter, you've got movies like Two for the Money that made the industry not look great. You've got shows like Money Talks with Steve Stevens, who looks like a dirtbag, frankly. And, you know, everything I've read about the guy says no one in Vegas even knew who that was before he got a TV show. There's a lot of bad information out there that people are giving, but obviously you're legit. You know, we're having you on because of that. How in the world do people find you and others and know that they're actually getting decent information from people that are actually trying versus just scammers, frankly?
You know, I think it's sample size, and you've got to really follow somebody for a little amount of time to know if they're good or not. And you, and I would not recommend really paying for anybody's picks unless you follow them for a while and you see what they're doing. Just like if I'm a sports bettor or sports bookmaker and I'm taking bets, I need to know my clientele. Now, if we're betting sports and we're trying to get information, I'm going to look for somebody who gives me a play and the line moves my way.
Mm-hmm.
That they tell me to, you know, go ahead and lay the three with Golden State. It was too low. It's going to go up, and it closes four. I want to see that. And I also, when they lose, I want to make sure they're close. When somebody loses and it's a blowout, some really bad handicapping was done, and they're not doing their work. They're kind of just throwing darts. They're picking teams. So, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time because you want to get a fairly decent-sized sample of games from somebody. But if you got a couple games, three games a day for 2 weeks from somebody, and so you get 40-some games from them, I think I'd have a pretty good idea if that person is doing their work and the games that they're giving you seem to be pretty steady, that the line doesn't move against them. They don't get blown out. Their losses are close. And then if you can find somebody that actually will give you the reasoning why they're on a team,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be even more important because, you know, when somebody says, you know, well, I like the Detroit Tigers tonight because six of their guys are Leo and Leos usually do well on Thursdays. Okay. Thanks a lot for that.
Yep.
You know, or I'm going over in the Royals game tonight because the Royals are 6-0 over on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Have a good one. Good talking to you.
Yep.
You know, yep. I want to hear somebody say, you know, Vargas is a left-handed pitcher. The Indians hit lefties really well and past games against Vargas. The current lineup's hitting .342 against him with an OPS of .890. He struggled in his last two starts. Bauer on the road has really struggled. So, I like this game over 9. The weather's good. It's good hitting ballpark. I think there's some value. I think the number should be 10.5 in this game. So let's go over 9. And if somebody told me that, I would say, I like that. I'm betting the game over 9. And, you know, I know how the industry is. I can tell you, I don't win every day. I have had losing weeks. I've had losing months. I've had losing years. This is kind of my worst start to baseball I've had in a long time. I had a tremendous college football season, probably won about 35, 40 units. I had a tremendous college basketball season this year, maybe won 30, 40 units and maybe 50 at tops. Baseball, I really thought. I love baseball the best of any sport for financial reasons, because if you get hot in baseball, I've seen more millionaires made because of baseball than any other sport, because it's day in and day out. And if you get the feel for it and you get hot, your bankroll jumps bigger and faster than any other sport there is. And I just didn't have the opportunity this year. I've had a lot of really tough losses. I think I've lost 5 games in the past 10 days where my team has had a 3-run lead in the 9th and I blew it.
Oh, wow.
Which is virtually impossible. I've lost 5 of them. I had the Brewers the other night and the Dodgers scored 5. I had the Astros the other night and the Royals came up with 2 in the 8th and 3 in the 9th. And, you know, it's when I lose games like that, but it's all about money management. So I'm betting about 1/10 of what I normally bet right now because you got to cut back. You're not winning, you cut back. I start winning, I start going up. And I've had seasons before where I've been a loser in baseball, and then all of a sudden something changes, whether it's I've made the right adjustments or the world got back to normal again and things are acting like they're supposed to. And, you know, I start to turn it around and you know, end up maybe even pulling out a positive season. And anybody that follows then, you know, has a really strong July and August, and everybody's happy going into college football.
Let me ask you this. Obviously, college football, NFL football is probably the most bet on sport, the most popular. I'm a baseball fan, grown up watching it my entire life. I feel like I understand it pretty well. I was going to ask you last night in Vegas, if you place a bet in Vegas and that starting pitcher gets scratched like Houston's pitcher did last night, is that an automatic refund on that? And then the other question was, you already touched on baseball. You said it's one of your favorites. I'm curious, because you're a professional at this, do you stay away completely from parlays? Do you do run line bets, money line bets? How do you view a typical baseball game?
I'm looking for value wherever I can get it. Parlaying in baseball is the most value of any sport you can parlay in. But I will parlay in football with favorite and over if I like both, or the underdog and under, and mainly that's what I'm usually on most of the time. If I'm going to make a parlay, I'm taking the underdog plus, you know, double digits or something and going under maybe a short total. The bigger the total, the less correlation I have. So I like to see games where I like the underdog and a lower total in any sport. In baseball, if I have a lower total and I've got a lean towards the home team and then maybe a dog and they're getting a run and a half, and I know the game's 4-3, it's going to be a total of 7. I might have a lot of value taking a run and a half with that home team. So there's also, and there's a lot of don'ts. I would never lay a run and a half with a home team unless the price was right. And that price would be, you know, would really have to be drastic. They're pretty much right on. So I rarely ever lay a run and a half with a home team because the price is correct. I will take a run and a half with home teams, low totals. I will lay a run and a half on the road team with higher totals and a team that I really like that I think may, you know, blow somebody out that day. But I won't ever take a run and a half on the visitor. So I only lay the run and a half with visitors and only take plus 1.5 with the home teams.
Kenny, we've run out of time, unfortunately. But before we wrap this up, just really quick question.
Sorry about that.
Do you no, don't feel sorry at all. We're gonna bother you and probably ask you to come back on again if that's okay.
I could ask you questions for about 5 days, honestly.
will sports gambling ever be legalized in America, do you think?
Yes. Most definitely. I don't know when. I thought it would have been 10 years ago, but it's not, and it will be, you know, as it is in the UK, and you can bet sports anywhere. It'll be that way in the U.S. Just might take another 4 or 5 years, I think, but it'll get there, and it'll be nice for everybody here in Vegas and in Nevada who works in the industry. You know, we're kind of locked in. I love this state, but it'd be nice to be able to go to another state and
come to Iowa
there for a couple years. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I was in Iowa. My son played for Cedar Rapids. Was back there a couple of years ago. Yeah, he's with the Twins organization. Now he's in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But
awesome.
Yeah, loved Iowa. I tell you what, it was his favorite spot, most friendliest people he's met along the way. And he's been to, you know, several spots now. He's been with five different teams in the Twins organization, but Cedar Rapids was his favorite.
Cool. Hey, Kenny, one last question I thought of. You've gambled forever. What is the toughest beat that you've ever had? What's the one that sticks in your mind more than anything else?
It's amazing. It'll always remember. And it wasn't even really a big bet, but it was a college football game, and I went over 49.5. It was University of Cincinnati. I don't know who they were playing. It was 49-0 at halftime.
And no scoring the second half?
That was the final.
Wow.
That's pretty rare.
That is incredible.
Hard to get 49 and 1.5 and 0 I don't think it's probably ever happened. That was probably the only time it's ever happened. But
yeah,
that was my worst beat. That one, when somebody asked me, that one just comes right to mind.
It's funny how those stick in the mind.
Yeah.
I had a worthless 3/4 court shot hit against me one time. That's the one it was Creighton, Northern Iowa, in the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. 10 years ago.
Those meaningless buzzer beaters, those are hard to get over, that's for sure.
Kenny,
I had a tough one, University of Hawaii one time when I was laying 7 and Hawaii needed a touchdown. They were down 6. I think they were down 6. I was laying 4.5. And they had a 4th-and-1 at the 5-yard line. Instead of going for the touchdown, they ran the field goal kicker on with 3 seconds left. And kicked a field goal instead of throwing the ball in the end zone.
Wow. That's when you want to break your TV.
Well, I reported it to the NCAA and the Gaming Control Board because it was definitely a fixed game. There was Hawaiian money, you know, on the team, and they were expected to, you know, cover the spread that night. So they didn't care about winning the game that night. All they cared about was covering the spread.
Wow.
Nobody ever got in trouble for it, but it did happen.
Man, that's fascinating.
And just when he brings up that nugget, we got to go.
Yeah.
Definitely have to have him on.
Kenny, we're going to keep sending people to Sportsline. We love the work that
Sounds
you guys
good.
Do.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll, I'm probably going to bother you again sometime soon, all right, pal?
Anytime. I'm available anytime.
All right. Thanks pal.
Kenny.
Thanks, guys.
Kenny White from Sportsline. That was fun, Mark. Again, like you said, I think we could have done that for about 5 hours, but he only had 30 minutes of time today.
I when you listen to him talk, you know me, we exchange texts back and forth. We shoot an idea off each other from time to time, you know, who do you like, et cetera. The detail with which he's talking about,
mm-hmm.
you can tell that's what he does for a living.
Yeah.
Like their understanding of it is so much deeper.
And he confirmed something for me, too. I've always heard that baseball parlay betting is the best way to make money in all of gambling.
I was surprised to hear he's been struggling. I mean, but again, that shows you that someone that does it for a living professionally still gets beat. I mean, people that think they're like, you hear people, they don't gamble a lot, but, oh, I always win, or I win 80%.
No, you don't.
You don't.
No, you don't.
Nobody does. These professionals that do it, if they're getting 60%, they're making a lot of money.
I always use myself as an example, too, because for probably 5 years now, Adam Gray and I will do picks where we each pick 10. And the first year we did that, I think I hit 76%, which is insane.
It is, yeah.
And then, like, I got super cocky. I think I'm all smart. The next year I was, like, below 30.
It
all comes back around.
There's a reason that more people don't move to Vegas to be professional sports bettors.
This is true.
It's extremely tough.
This is true. All right, fun Fawcett. We will get him back on too. By the way, he's a good.
Apologies for all you that sent in questions. It when you do an interview like that, he's answering questions. I'm listening, but the whole time, I'm just thinking about more.
You're listening and you're reacting, and every time he says something, it spurs the.
I'm out in Vegas in October this year, and a guy like that, I literally want to send him an email and say, can I buy you a beer? And just like,
or 10.
A 10 beers and just chat with you for an hour just to, you know, get some time with him, because the perspective is crazy. I love it.
Mark, fun stuff. All right, we've been getting a lot of positive feedback about Mark's real estate segments, and I'm really not just saying that. We've gotten a ton of positive feedback about this. It's been pretty educational for a lot of people out there. So here we go, your Fawcast special from Charterhouse Real Estate. Here's Mark's weekly real estate segment here on the Fawcast.
Hey, guys, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that latest edition of the Fawcast. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the importance of hiring a great agent today. And truth be told, I consider myself a pretty good agent. Maybe even great, depends on the day. But what's the difference? So does it matter what agent you hire to sell your house? Especially if you're hearing things like, oh, it's a seller's market. You know, anybody can sell their house. I can sell my own house. Doesn't really matter. Just any agent will do. Guys, I've been doing this 12 years. And in my opinion, the agent that you hire is everything. It is crucial to hire somebody, in my opinion, that's successful. So let's look at someone that might not be successful, a rookie, somebody struggling, etc. What's the advantage to hiring somebody like that? Well, there might be one, and that advantage is that they will claim to be hungry, and that might be true. Maybe they are hungry. Maybe they need a paycheck badly. They're going to go the extra mile for you. They're going to bust their ass, whatever it might be. There is something to that. I'm not going to dismiss that completely. But there's also a downside to that. When you work with an agent that is starving for a paycheck, that just absolutely needs that deal to close to make their month, when push comes to shove and there's an issue that comes up in the deal that could kill it, they're going to do everything they can to keep you in that deal. An agent that is successful and doesn't need your paycheck that month because they have several others coming in, while you may not think they're motivated, they might be coming from a better place. As an example of that, if we're to the point in a transaction with me, and there's something that might kill the deal, and I think it's beneficial to you to do that, I'm going to encourage you to kill the deal. Me getting paid on that transaction can wait. We'll put the house back on the market. We'll relist it. The paycheck will come 2 or 3 months later. That's not a big deal to me. But to a rookie or to somebody that's struggling, it absolutely is. The other thing is simply expertise. Look at any industry. You know, a car mechanic that's been doing it 30 years. They've seen every problem that there is on a car. They know how to fix it. A doctor that's been doing surgery for, you know, 20 plus years. They're not going to open you up and discover something they haven't seen before. They've kind of seen it all. when you work with a rookie or you work with someone that doesn't do a lot of transactions, every little thing that comes up that's new to them, that throws them for a loop, that makes them worried about how they're going to react to something, those aren't good things for you, the client. You want to work with somebody that knows what they're doing, that's successful, that's proven it, that knows. I'm at the point in my career where I'm not surprised by anything. You know, clients often say to me, when they're freaking out about something, how come I'm so cool, calm, and collected? You know, why am I not freaking out? And I tell them, because you pay me not to be. You pay me to know the answers to these questions. I'm going to guide you through this, and I'm going to help you figure things out. And at the end of the day, we'll get you to the point where you want to be, and we'll get your house closed. More often than not, that's exactly what happens, and then the transaction overall goes well. Why am I able to do that? Simply experience, guys. I've been doing this, again, this and nothing but this for the last 12 years. If you do anything for that long of a period of time, you're going to see it all, hear it all, do it all, and that's basically where I'm at. So again, if you're interviewing several agents, which is smart to do when you're listing your house, great. If you want to interview a rookie, great. But definitely compare them to somebody that's been in the business, that knows how all this stuff works. I think in the long run, going that route is hugely beneficial to you and will help you avoid a lot of costly mistakes, errors, time wasted, etc. All right, guys, that's it. We'll talk to you next week. And again, we're happy to help you anywhere in the country. We have a referral system in place where we can help you find a great agent, whether you're buying or selling, no matter where you live. You just got to call us or get in contact with us, and we're happy to do that. We do get paid on that transaction, not by you, but by the agent we referred you to. It's an easy way to connect to us and help us support Segment Fanatic. That's it, guys. We'll see you next week.